Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. Now, I want to be very clear. I understand the why with this player, but it has still happened. One of the big problems right now with the Royals' offense is they have scored 2 runs in their last 20 innings, and over their last 30 games, they have scored 88 runs. It's not enough. You cannot every night go out there and score 2 and 3 runs. You put immense pressure on your rotation, immense pressure on your bullpen, where the expectation every single night is to be perfect. The Royals' offense has not created a lot of margin for error over the last 30 games that we have seen them play dating back to last year. A major reason why is this offense, in order for it to work, they need Vinny Pasquantino. They need him. And a problem that they've had after the injury to Vinny Pasquantino, and it's going to take some time, is they haven't had Vinny really during those last 30 games. So you remember, Vinny missed a majority of the second half of the season with the wrist injury, a really unfortunate injury, not being injury prone, just ball hit you in the wrong place, you ended up getting injured. Nothing you can do to avoid that. He then missed the rest of the regular season, and it caused them to scramble. They had to try to figure out a way to piecemeal the offense, and there is no piecemealing the offense with the Royals. They are not the Yankees, where, yeah, if you lose a big-time hitter, oh, it's cool, we got 3 or 4 of them. No. This team has 3 run producers. They have 3. And that's not to say Jonathan India is not great. Jonathan India, I think, has been as advertised. This team has 3 players that they rely on to bring in runs. They have Bobby Witt Jr., they have Vinny Pasquantino and Salvador Perez. Those are the guys that bring home the bacon, so to speak. Over the last 30 games that the Royals have played, they just haven't had Vinny Pasquantino. If you go back to the postseason last year, on a player who probably shouldn't have been playing for the Royals but was trying to come back, it's the postseason, I want to try to be there for my guys. Certainly understandable. He hit 130. He hit 130 and had 2 RBIs and had an on-base percentage of 231. You are not doing anything in the postseason if you don't get Vinny Pasquantino in the heart of your lineup and account for everything that you are doing. You fast forward to this season. I think most people would agree that the offense has gotten off to a little bit of a slow start. It's the first week of the season, but they've gotten off to a slow start. In those 5 games for Vinny Pasquantino, he has 3 hits. He is hitting 177 so far to kick off this season. That's just not good enough. Now, again, I'm not being overly critical of Vinny. It's early on in the season. You got a lot more at-bats. But if you want to kind of point to what's wrong with the offense right now and why they're not scoring, it has been for a team that already doesn't have an abundance of run producers, only having 3, essentially for the last 30 games, you have taken one of them directly out of your lineup. Vinny probably shouldn't have been playing in the postseason. And so far in this, you've gotten off to a little bit of a slow start, and that's what's really defined this offense. We can be critical of MJ Melendez. I'm here for that. MJ Melendez is not why this team is going to make the postseason. He is not make or break for this team. I'm critical of Hunter Renfro, who has not been good for the Royals, at least offensively, since he's been here. But if this team is going to be good, if this team is going to win the American League Central, then at some point, whether it is just you get healthy, you get more ABs, you get going, you get hot at some point, which I believe is going to happen, you got to get Vinny back going. And Vinny has to be in the center of everything you do offensively. When the Royals started playing their best baseball last season, it was because Bobby Witt Jr. was special, and he is the second best player in the American League behind Aaron Judge, second best offensive player, second best hitter in the American League. And it was because Vinny was at the middle of everything that you do offensively. He's not in the middle of everything that you do offensively, and there just isn't enough other pieces around them, JT, to be able to carry their offense if you're going to subtract one of your big run producers, which is Vinny Pasquantino. I mean, in the last 30 games, he's only played in 11, so he hasn't been there for 19 of those games. And in the 11 that he has played in your last 30, he's hitting below 200 in those and not really driving in and producing a lot of runs.
Yeah, and if you want to take it a step further, you take away the first game against the Brewers, they scored 11 runs. I mean, you take that away, it even looks worse for this offense because they had a big going out party against the Brewers in the first game of this series that they just played. Vinny is the key because he has self-discipline at the plate. We all love Salvi, but how many times have you sat and watched a Royals game and you saw Salvi swing out of the box a little bit, get a little aggressive, got a little excited? With Vinny, it seems like he's always monotone and he's ready to go no matter how big the situation is. Sometimes Salvi gets a little jitter and he swings out of the box. You don't see Vinny chasing the ball much. He doesn't chase the ball. He puts the ball in play, and that's why he was so key last year, because when there was a runner on third with one out, you knew he was going to get the sac fly to get the run in. So that's why Vinny is so key to this team, and that's why his health is so important for this team.
I'm looking at the stats here, text line 913-586-7965, and someone just texted in, I'd rather see a player with a little bit more upside than Hunter Renfro strike out four times a game. He did strike out in the last game, four times. I don't think that the Royals are doing anything in the short term with Hunter Renfro. I believe that he is going to continue to go out there. He has gotten off to an incredibly slow start. I would say probably the slowest of any player that's on their team. He has 18 at-bats so far. He has two hits. He has three RBIs. He's hitting 111. He has six strikeouts. It ain't been good so far with Hunter Renfro. I think this is a really, really good test as an owner about how you want to handle this thing. Hunter Renfro is not making a crazy amount of money. Now, he's not making peanuts, but he is not making a crazy amount of money. He signed a two-year, $13 million deal, and we are halfway done with that contract. Now, at some point, if this thing continues to trend the way that it is trending, and it looks the same the way that it is offensively and defensively for Hunter Renfro, at some point, you're going to have to make a decision about what you want to do. And if you want us to take you seriously as a playoff team, which obviously they want us to take them seriously as, and John Sherman talks about the importance of winning the division and just simply getting into the dance, and how if you get into the dance a bunch of times, you give yourself a chance, and all of those things are right. How quick are they willing to pull the cord on Hunter Renfro? How quick are they willing to send down MJ Melendez? Are unfortunately two of the main topics with this Royals team. We are not just talking about a seven-game sample size with Hunter Renfro. We are talking about now a 150-game sample size with Hunter Renfro, that it is difficult to carry his bat in the lineup every single day. You don't have enough run producers to be able to carry one of the worst everyday offensive players in baseball every single day. With MJ Melendez, I'm not operating, you should trade him. You still got options. We're still talking about a player that's 27 years old. You still can do something about it. And maybe what MJ could possibly need is just a hard reset. How the Royals handle these two players is a really big thing about this team. Because on a lot of teams of Hunter Renfro, hey, if this thing's not working in the first month of the season, hey, we are happy to write you a check to go away and go play for somebody else. How quickly are the Royals going to do that with Hunter Renfro? How long is the leash that they are going to give him? His leash is not 6 games. They're going to give him the first month, the first 45 days of the season. If we are having this conversation past the draft in the middle of the way, May, when all of that is worn away and Hunter Renfro is hitting 170, I think the voices from the fans is going to be louder and louder. Hey, how serious are you guys about competing? How serious are you guys about winning the American League Central? And do you think you can do that continuing to carry Hunter Renfro's bat for another season?
Oh, I totally agree. And I think, like you said, MJ could use a hard reset. And we saw that with Mike Moustakas. Remember, they sent him down and he came back up and he was a whole different player. He loved the game of baseball again. He found the truth of what he needed to do. I think if you send MJ down, you could see that same thing happening. I don't think you need to be afraid of sending MJ down. With Renfro, there's got to be something, man, because like I said, last year the big praise that you had about Hunter Renfro is, yeah, okay, his bat's not there, but he's got great defense. So far, that defense has looked bad. It hasn't looked great. You've got to find something with him, because if you can't, then you just need to move on, because you would rather have maybe a young player that needs still development in the outfield but is hitting the ball well rather than, oh, we have an average player that's just a sitting stone in our lineup.
Someone on the text line says 45 days is too much. I do think that the Royals are going to give Hunter Renfro at least 100 at-bats. They're going to give him at least 100 at-bats. If you're not willing to give him 100 at-bats, I don't know why you brought him back for this upcoming season. Then you had made the determination that you weren't going to ride through any ups and downs with Hunter Renfro, and he had to get going almost instantly for you to want to keep him around. We are at 18 in the first 6 games of the season. I think 100 at-bats is a pretty fair number. We are about a sixth of the way through your season of figuring out what you're going to be offensively. So you got another 80 at-bats if you're Hunter Renfro. And I think the clock is just accelerated for him with everybody else. I don't think they're doing anything with Kyle Isbell anytime soon. There are two players who are in danger of being voted off the island. Hunter Renfro is one of those players. The other player is MJ Melendez. We'll keep our Royals conversation coming up on the other side. We are exactly 1 year away, or I guess 1 year past, when the vote got shot down last year. Last year, the people in Jackson County voted on whether or not they wanted to extend the sales tax. The people in Jackson County pretty resoundingly said no. We are 1 year removed from that. What does all that mean? We'll talk about it. Keep it right here, Sidra. Someone on the text line said, CDOT, you should tell the Cauldron to write a letter about Hunter Renfro. I mean, if Royals fans were as organized as sporting fans, hey, I'll tell you one thing. The Royals wouldn't have been bad for as long as they've been bad if they had Sporting's fan base. The folks over there in Sporting, they've been bad for like 18 months. Uh-uh, man, this ain't enough. This ain't enough. Nah, man. Y'all got to do better. Y'all got to do better. If it was up to you guys, they'd still have Dayton Moore as the general manager. I mean, come on, man. I mean, I don't know how you can forget 14 and 15. The Cauldron, they don't put up with that. Nah, man. They don't put up with that. I don't think you guys are ready to mobilize the way the Cauldron is. They would get stiff. They would get stuff done, is what they would do. They would get stuff done over there. Maybe you guys can get, you remember, maybe some of you remember this. This was like in the early 2000s when they had Paul Byrd. They would have like the Byrd gang, and they would have like a designated section in the stadium for Paul Byrd. That's what you guys need to get. I don't know what the name would be. Maybe you guys can come up with the name on 913-586-7965, but you got to mobilize. And that's what the Cauldron have. They got mobilization skills for this kind of stuff. And they get stuff done. Hey, man, we not happy. Hey, that dude, hey, I know his name's on the wall, and I know he's a Hall of Famer. Hey, fire him. That's what they said. They said fire him in a very strongly worded letter. They ain't even threaten a boycott. They ain't even say, hey, we're not coming to the games till you fire him. Just, this is what we would like for you guys to do. And they fired him. Are you guys ready to mobilize? Are you ready to come together? And then you could probably get something done. All right, let's talk about this. I knew it was coming up, but I didn't have the exact date. We are 1 year removed from the 3/8 of a cent sales tax. If you go back, the no votes were 47,593, so 58.2% of the vote. Yes votes, 34,243, 41%. So Todd Palmer brought this to my attention. Shout out to Todd Palmer, does fantastic work for 41. And he was asking how people feel. I kind of feel like some of people's anger and frustration during this time was a little bit misplaced. I remember I was getting blamed for having the KC Tenet people on there. I'm like, wait, hold on. We got like a vote. We can't have some of the no vote and some of the yes vote on here. Like, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Y'all was blaming me for why the thing, even though I was telling you I voted yes on this. It's a very confusing time. Let's start with this. The Royals had three bigger crowds in this last year that went to games than turned out to vote. Now, I understand those people don't all live in Jackson County that come from the games. Some of them live in Cass County. Some of them live in Clay County. Some of them live in Jackson or Johnson County. People live all over. And not just the Royals. The fact that the Royals and Chiefs couldn't mobilize their base enough to push you to go vote on this thing, they didn't get nearly enough blame for the money they were asking us to give them. No one has ever answered this question for me. The owner of the Kansas City Chiefs was asking for us to give him like $500 million and then didn't even show up to the rally for it. Didn't even show up. Just wasn't around for it. Wait, hold on. You can't be present. You asking us for the money and you can't even show up. That never made sense to me. A whole lot of things never made sense. I still, to this day, and I have spent dozens of hours reading about this, I still have no clue what the Chiefs had planned for the space that Kauffman said. No, I still have absolutely no clue what they had planned. None. I still don't know. I don't think that the teams have taken nearly enough responsibility for why this thing failed. And I get it. I think of the people of Jackson County have been kind of, oh, you guys did this. No. If you're the one asking for us to give you some money, I do think you have some level of responsibility to make us think that you're going to do right by the money that we are going to give you. Now, I voted yes on this. You guys know the stance that I have on this. And I hate the fact that we are still talking about this a year later and don't really seem to have any clarity. The Royals are always 3 months away from telling us something real about it. The Royals are like when you talk to your friend, like, oh, man, I'll come pick you up. Hey, man, when you leaving? Oh, man, I'm on the way. Then you call back an hour. Oh, man, I got held up, man. I'm on the way. What, you told me just a minute ago you were on the way. No, man, I'm about to leave. The Royals have been doing that when it comes to the stadium. For the last year, they've been telling us. At first, it was going to be in the fall. Then it was going to be at the first of the year. Now, maybe in the summer, we'll get it. So I don't know when we're actually going to get concrete information on what's happening with the Royals and what's happening with the Chiefs. All I know is it's coming. At some point, we are going to get this information. It is very weird that I would say that this is one of the biggest civic discussions that we have ever had. If you're my age and you're under the age of 40, you haven't really had too many of these conversations because the stadiums have always been in one place. And the one time that we were asked to vote for this, aside from a year ago, it was simply to put more money in it to keep it to where it was. And then they were kind of hanging over you. Oh, well, we might have to move. And yeah, they were doing what teams normally do. And it passed. Now, it didn't pass by a landslide, by a wide margin, but the teams got the money that they needed. They renovated the stadiums and all things moved forward. This feels very, very different for both teams. I do think that both teams are getting new stadiums. Now, maybe the Chiefs have a plan at renovation. Maybe they have a plan. And I think we'll have to see what happens with the Truman Sports Complex and where the Royals eventually go. And now there's going to be this empty space and the Chiefs want to build there. The Chiefs just don't really strike me as the organization that is open to renovating their stadium, especially when one of their options is another state wants to buy them a completely brand new stadium. Like, one of your options is the state of Kansas is going to build to you one of the most impressive football venues in the world. And I do think if you're Clark and you've been flying all around the country and seeing these other ones and, you know, twice a year you go to Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas and then you go to SoFi Stadium and you see theirs, and then you come back home and you see your stadium, I do think there is a little bit of stadium envy, and I think that Clark wants one of those cathedrals. I think you look at Atlanta Stadium and Mercedes-Benz Dome, and I think you want that. And you're telling me, wait, not only do I want it, somebody else is going to pay for this thing? I understand how that's going to be enticing. Another reason why I think this vote failed a year ago is simple. I don't think the Chiefs committed nearly enough money to this. I'm going back. They were asking for eight. They believed, this is not my opinion, this is what the Chiefs said, they believed that the renovations were going to cost $800 million. They were willing to contribute $300 million to it. Wait, hold on. Hold on. That sounds right to you guys? We can't even go 50-50 on the renovations. We can't even split it. We can't go 60-40. Hey, you guys are going to pay the 60. We'll pay the 40 and we'll contribute. No. We're going to contribute $300 million and everybody else is going to put up the $500 million. I don't think either team put together a really good plan. The Royals' plan was constantly changing up until the day of the vote. I'll never forget, at 1 o'clock, the polls had already opened. They then get a letter from the Crossroads community group that they're on board. You should have had that before you ever put it on the ballot. How are you doing this in the middle of the conversation? Oh, wait, hey, they're cool with it now. No, that time has passed. I don't know why we're even having this conversation. And the Chiefs, I've come to believe this over the last year or so. I don't think the Chiefs ever wanted it to pass. I don't think the Chiefs' number one objective has ever been to renovate the current structure that they're at. I think their number one priority is to build a new stadium. And I think that the Royals had to go along, or the Chiefs had to go along with it, and they had to be a part of it. And now I think the Chiefs ultimately got what they really wanted, which is to get the state of Missouri and the state of Kansas to compete and vie for building us a brand new stadium. We want a brand new stadium. We want a brand new practice facility. We're going to contribute a little bit of money to it, but the bulk of it, you are paying for. You as in me and you. And I also think that whatever they end up doing, they will have personal seat licenses. If you remember that questionnaire that they had not that long ago, very wrong word on souvenir, that questionnaire that they had, you remember a major part of it was about personal seat licenses. That was a test to me. It was a test. How do you guys really feel about this? This is something that we've had a lot of internal conversations about. It's something that we are very serious about, and we want to maximize every dollar that we can get out of this stadium. And a major way of doing it is a personal seat license. Hey, we're happy to put up $300-400 million to help pay for this stadium because we know that you guys are about to give us not only your tax dollars, you guys are directly going to give us $300-400 million by your personal seat licenses. You want to have season tickets in section 127, row 9? All right. We need $20,000 up front, and then you can buy the tickets from us. I think that's clearly where the Chiefs are headed. So we are a year removed. It was not close. The people of Jackson County, I don't know if they told you, A, we don't want to help pay for this, or B, I think it's a combination of these things, we think your plan was bad, but this is not close. It was 47,000 to 34,000 votes. The people of Jackson County overwhelmingly told you to go back to the drawing board. Now, we'll see if that's what the teams want to do. Maybe you only get one shot at these things. Hey, even though it was a bad deal, you had your one shot at the deal, you didn't end up taking the deal, and now we are moving our show across state line. I don't think they're moving to Nashville. I don't think they're moving. I think they will continue to be in the Kansas City metro area. And I still think a year later, we are no closer to figuring out exactly where the two teams are going to play their home games.
I totally agree. See, I didn't get to vote. I'm not in Jackson County. I'm in Cass County. So I got to sit back and watch it. And as much as I wanted the vote to pass, I totally understood and still understand why it did not pass. To me, the teams did not put a well-executed plan together for the vote. Like you said, it kept changing for the Royals, and it felt like the Chiefs could care less. And so be it. The fans, the voters showed up and showed out like, hey, guess what? We want you to care about what you're putting forward to us. We don't want to give something that you're not giving us 100% of. And I totally agree with them. I'm not too upset if they move because I know it's not going to be outside of the Kansas City metro area. Sure, they can move up to the Legends, but it's not like you said, they're not moving to Nashville. They're not moving to Omaha. They're staying in the Kansas City area, whether it be on the Kansas or Missouri side. So be it. It's not like it's Missouri versus Kansas in college where it's the football game or basketball game. So that's where I stand, and that's how I think it it feels to me.
Yeah, text line 913-586-7965. I also think that Missouri is facing this challenge, and we haven't talked a whole lot about this, but we're here in the middle of the conversation. Let's just do it. There's a group of people that really want it on the Kansas side. Like, some of you really want it on the Kansas side. There's a group of people that really want it on the Missouri side. And I think there is a bigger group, and I don't know if we can ever kind of wrap our arms around it. There's a group of people that simply don't care as long as it's in the region, that we are so accustomed to driving across state line either way for whatever it is. If you want to go to WWE Raw and you live on 135th and Metcalf, you know what you need to do? Get in your car and drive to Missouri. You go over to Missouri, you maybe go to Pizza Bar, you maybe go to Bar Louie, you go to the event, you get in your car, and you drive back home. If you live in Missouri and you want to go out to a sporting game or you want to go to Oak Park Mall, like, we are all so accustomed to in the region that we live that you drive over to Kansas all the time, you drive over to Missouri all the time, you got people that live on this side, that I think there's a large group of people that just simply don't care where it is. I would honestly say I'm starting to be on that side of this thing. Like, it'll be fine. Like, Johnson County has grown and grown in our lifetime. They never had tax revenue from the Royals or the Chiefs in their state. They seem to do just fine. Like, they seem to do just fine with all of that. So we'll see what happens. I have told you guys what I think is going to happen. I will continue to maintain that I believe that the Royals will be in downtown Kansas City. I think that's what they want. I think, like anything, you need two things to come together. You need the team to desperately want it. You need the city or the county to desperately want it. I think it is pretty clear that the city of Kansas City, Missouri, and Jackson County are on the same page when it comes to the Royals. We really want the Royals to be here. I don't think that the Chiefs are on the same page with the state of Missouri and the same page with Jackson County. And if you are the Chiefs, and at least my perception of the Chiefs, I think the Chiefs are looking for the best deal. That's what I think. I think the Chiefs are looking around and they are trying to find the guy with the nicest car, the baller, and hey, whichever one of y'all can take care of me, that's who I'm going to be with. That's what I think the Chiefs are. I don't think the Chiefs care where the stadium is. I don't think they care if it is in the Truman Sports Complex. I don't think they care if it's up north. I don't think they care if it's in Wyandotte County. Who's paying for it? And as long as you got the bread to help put up to pay for it, I think the Chiefs will entertain your conversation. And I think the Kansas has made it very, very clear. I don't think the Kansas can afford both of them. I don't think there's enough money, enough tax dollar. I don't think there's enough for them to be able to afford building two completely new stadiums simultaneously. I don't think there is enough for you to build new Arrowhead and new Kauffman at the same time. I do think there's enough for you to build one of them. And if you are any place, you want to get into the NFL business. That's what you want to get into. You want to get into the football business. And I would say right now, I think the betting favorite is that the Chiefs, at some point, I would say in the next 12 months, I think the Chiefs make an announcement that they are moving to Kansas and that they are planning to build a new stadium at some part where the Legends are.
Yeah, I would say it happens. And now, I think the big question once it comes out, like, hey, we're moving to Kansas, when do they officially move to Kansas? That's, I think, the biggest thing that I'm waiting on is, hey, we're moving to Kansas, but guess what? We're not moving till, when's their lease up? Isn't it 2032?
It's coming. It's sooner than that. I don't know the exact. I mean, I can pull it up, but yeah, it's sooner than that.
But I wonder if they're going to make it even sooner, like they're going to buy out and get out of there and say, hey, we're moving to Kansas before our lease is up at the Truman Complex. That's the biggest question I have. Honestly, moving forward with this whole situation is, how fast are they wanting to move and how soon can they get it done?
Text line 913-586-7965. Just talking about this, we are a year away from, or I guess removed from the vote. A year ago, the people of Jackson County made a decision that they did not want to extend the sales tax. We'll see if eventually there is another vote, if we get another chance to vote on this. Obviously, do not have the answer to that. We will see. Both teams seem pretty clear that at some point in 2025, we will have an answer. I don't know when that will be, but the team seemed pretty clear that at some point we are going to have an answer about what the future of the Truman Sports Complex looks like. And obviously, we got to wait to get a little bit of time until we figure that out. Let's talk a little bit of draft here. I know we're up against it. Let's talk a little bit of draft here. Albert Breer was talking about the number 4 overall pick. I think that the NFL draft is really starting to become very, very clear. I think we know who the number 1 overall pick is going to be. I think it's going to be Cam Ward. I think we're starting to know pretty clear who the number 2 overall pick is going to be. I think it's going to be Abdul Carter, the talented pass rusher from Penn State. I think Travis Hunter is starting to kind of solidify himself as the 3rd overall pick, and that's when the draft really starts to get fun. Here's Albert Breer.
Starting to feel to me like there's less and less of a likelihood that Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter get to the Patriots. The Browns and Giants have at least given off some signals over the last week or two that they could take position players, Hunter, Carter, at 2 and 3, and then double back on day 2 and get quarterback.
I think what makes this draft so interesting is, I would say, the lack of quarterback activity at the top of the draft class. I think the Shadur and Jackson Dart interest is highly exaggerated as we are heading into the draft. I just think that if you're going to spend a premium pick, then you need a player that has premium abilities. And I just don't think that's what Shadur or Jackson Dart are. Now, I understand it is supply and demand, and there's not a whole lot of quarterbacks in this draft class. And this is a way, even if you spend the draft pick capital, it's a way for you to get a cheap, cost-controlled quarterback. And at this point, we are so used to turning and burning at the position that if it doesn't work, all right, cool, we'll draft another one. Now, everybody here will be fired if we don't get it right, but we're turning over general managers and coaches so much that I don't know if that's the fear as much anymore as an organization. If you think we got a capable quarterback, you go ahead and take him. I think the fear of quarterback is driving some of this conversation when I don't think that Jackson Dart is a top prospect in this year's draft class. I just don't think that he is. I think there's only like 3 or 4 top A1 high-level draft pick prospects in this year's draft class. And then that's where I think it gets really fun. When does the run start at wide receiver? Where does Luther Burden go? When does the first offensive lineman come off the board who also could come from the University of Missouri? Like, there's some very serious questions, but I do think that this draft class lacks a little bit of sizzle from the top high-end players, but I think it's really, really intriguing. I think the top 3 are starting to get solidified that we know who's going to go 1, 2, and 3. And then after that, I think your guess is as good as anybody. I think almost anything could happen potentially in this NFL draft. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get back to the Kansas City Royals. Let's talk about the Chiefs coming up on the other side. The Chiefs, they bring back Mike Edwards. The Chiefs, they have kept it very familiar this offseason. Keep it right here. It's the drive. I was driving into work today, and I was thinking this related to the Chiefs as the Chiefs are bringing back Mike Edwards. So the Chiefs are bringing back, I mean, this offseason, if we had gone through the list, and, you know, this is not really a great radio exercise, but if we had gone through the list of their available free agents, they've kept a large majority of them. I didn't think they would be in a position where they would keep Trey Smith and Nick Bolton. They did both of those things. If you look at this offense and this defense, it is very, very familiar. That I was thinking this as I was driving in. If I had to come up with one word to describe the Chiefs' offseason, the word would be continuity. That's what the Chiefs' offseason has been about. The Chiefs' offseason has kind of been shrugging off what happened in the Super Bowl. That's not what they did the first time they lost in the Super Bowl. When the Chiefs lost the last Super Bowl, they pressed a button, and I'm not saying they panicked with the offensive line. They were kind of forced to rebuild their offensive line. Hey, this thing doesn't work. We need to completely start over and build from scratch. This is broken. We need to start over. When they lost in the AFC Championship game to the New England Patriots, our defense is broken. We need to start over and build it from scratch. That's not what the Chiefs' energy has been this offseason. It has been one of continuity. It is, we are not going to overreact to what happened in the Super Bowl. When I'm looking right now at their starting 11, Mahomes, Pacheco, Worthy, Rice, Hollywood Brown, Travis Kelce. That's the team from last year they have simply brought back. Hey, that team was still good. We have not forgot about the games prior to the Super Bowl, and we still think that the core and the foundation of this team is very, very solid. You then look at the defense from last year. I mean, basically, other than Justin Reed, they kind of bring everybody else back from the defense. Now, sure, Tershawn Wharton is gone. Tershawn Wharton is a good player. You can replace Tershawn Wharton. I know how many sacks he got last year, but you, over a course of time, created Tershawn Wharton. You found an undrafted player. You coached him and coached him and coached him, and look what you turned him into, a guy that's got $30 million. Now it's time for us to start that process over. But if you are looking at this team, this offseason, what they have really preached is continuity. We think we are in a great spot. We went 17-3 last year, really 17-2, but that's their record. We went 17-3. We are not going to overreact to the three. We are going to focus in and lock in on the 17 games that we won last year, and we believe we're going to be healthier next year, and we have shored up what our biggest problem is. They believe their biggest problem was left tackle. I'm not here to tell them that they're wrong. That's where they've spent a majority of their resources, was finding a new left tackle, retaining the offensive line that they like from last year, and giving Trey Smith a whole lot of money. They paid for a left tackle. On defense, they didn't really do a whole lot else with the defense. Yeah, they went out and they got Christian Fulton. I mean, they didn't throw a crazy bag at Christian Fulton or make a big-time trade. Like, this year's offseason, I don't think it was run it back in the same way. Like, it's not as trendy as that because they lost. It was continuity. We like what we have here. And we're going to bring back 85% of our roster. And we think with a healthy Rashee Rice from week one, and we'll see what happened with the suspension, with a healthy Hollywood Brown, some natural improvement from some of our young players, from a Xavier Worthy, from a Brian Cook, from a Jaden Hicks, we think that those guys are going to develop, and we're going to find ourselves back in the same position coming up next late January and February that we're playing again for another Super Bowl.
And I think they were like, okay, well, we go out and get our tackle position fixed, and we trade away Joe Tooney. Guess what? I think the left side of the offensive line is better, and we won't have as much problems protecting our prized possession in Mahomes. So I think I understand what they're doing, bringing it all back. It is kind of worrisome because we kind of talked about it like the Royals. Now, obviously, it's a whole different story because the Royals haven't made it to the World Series three straight years, but the Royals brought back majority of the same pieces. Everyone's 1 year older. Everyone is kind of a little bit slower. So that's the biggest worry, is like, I get it. Everyone comes back. They know everything about the system and everything, but they're also getting a little bit older each year. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. I'm totally cool with the familiar faces. It's just, can they repeat it for a fourth straight year?
This is my, I would say my biggest complaint right now about the Chiefs. And I am reserving this complaint and putting an asterisk by it, without knowing what they do in the draft, because the Chiefs could answer some of my questions in the draft. As of now, their continuity plan on offense, I would say, still leaves you very open to, hey, if you guys kind of see some injuries the way you did last year, we could be having some of the same conversations in week five of the NFL season, where I thought it was pretty clear as they were heading into the deadline, hey, you guys don't have enough. Like, you guys at some point are going to have to go out and make a move and try to get somebody to help solidify this offense. And they went out and they made the trade for DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, this is right now, they're, as of now, their skill position players are no different heading into week one than they were heading into training camp of last year. The only change that you added is Kareem Hunt. If we go back and we look at the depth chart from this time last year, it is the same. It's the same. Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, Isaiah Pacheco, Juju Smith-Schuster, Travis Kelce, Noah Gray, their offense is the same after the draft. Now, again, they got another draft coming up. Let's see if they get another running back. Let's see if they invest another wide receiver. Again, I'm putting an asterisk by this comment. If another injury happens, which in Hollywood's career, not a crazy prediction to have happened, if you have another injury, whether it's to a Rice, whether it's to a Juju Smith-Schuster, Kareem Hunt is 30 years old. If something happens in there, you are going to find yourself once again in the same spot where you're going to wish that you stocked up a little bit more in the offseason. So coming up in 3 weeks is the time to stock up for the offseason. That's the time to build the depth in your offense. Because I would say on defense, the Chiefs have a little bit of depth. I don't know if the Chiefs have a lot of depth on offense. They don't have a lot of depth right now in terms of running back. I think they have a little bit of depth at wide receiver. I don't think the ceiling is super high, but I also don't think their floor is incredibly low. I would say at tight end, I think they're fine at tight end. You guys kind of know how I feel about Travis Kelce at this point. I think he's fine. I think he's capable. Are they prepared to make him more of a 1B to Noah Gray and give Noah Gray more opportunities? We'll obviously see how that plays itself out at the very beginning of the season. But from an offensive standpoint, as of now, everything that you felt about their offense heading into training camp, you should feel about their offense right now. It's the same team. It's the same parts. It's the same players. And they have one more big chance, one more big swing to, I think, to add a little bit more to this offense. I will continue to bang the drum for a running back. I think this team desperately needs to go pick up one more. I also think they need to pick up one more wide receiver. I know that they've spent a first-round pick in recent years and a second-round pick. I'm not saying you got to spend a first or a second-round pick this year, but I'd be perfectly fine with you spending a fourth-round pick and trying to get another young, cost-controlled, a guy that gives you a chance at a little bit of boom or bust, and you can push out Juju Smith-Schuster, you can move on from Sky Moore and some of these other players, and you've got a young, you got another lottery ticket at wide receiver that could potentially pay big dividends for you late in the season in the second half of the year, the way that Worthy did and also the way that Rashee Rice did, and you also add that running back that you project heading into 2026 can be a day one starter for you at that position, and he's already got a year in your offense and understanding it. Coming up on the other side, the Royals are 1 week into their season. We'll talk some Royals baseball, and we are living in an incredible time in sports. We'll talk about it. Keep it right here. So drive.